everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Engage to Flourish podcast. This is Damon, and this is actually an episode that's been long in the making, and I've been looking forward to this episode probably for over a year actually by now, because I've been trying to get this guest to come on for over a year, and just scheduling wise and just different things haven't added up and haven't led to him being here. But there were some pretty significant events that have been happening the past few weeks / months that we felt really compelled to share with everybody. And it was like, okay, we have to get him to come on. So welcome to the episode, Cameron Honma. Welcome, Cam.
Thanks. Thanks, Damon. Thanks for having me. Really excited to be here. It has been a while.
Yeah, I've been kind of bugging him. Like I said, I think for over a year, like, hey, you have to come on. I think even last year we had a Kingdom class, and he was in the class, and he's like, oh yeah, it would be good for us to talk about some of the things in the class on the podcast. And just timing-wise wasn't lining up and things, but yeah.
Now we got a lot to talk about now.
We definitely have a lot to talk about. So as we were kind of prepping for this episode, we're like, we should start with this. And then it was like, okay, if we start with that, but then we have to go backwards and start earlier and earlier and earlier. And it's like, oh shoot, this is actually going to be kind of a journey episode. So one of the main things that we wanted to talk about is, like I said, we had this big event a few weeks ago, which was our very, very first VBS. And it ended up being really awesome. I think it was better than anyone could have imagined from our side. And we will get to talking about that. But Cameron is the one that took the lead and was the champion for, you know, getting us to have a VBS this year. He's been talking about it for about a year. Yeah. And wanting to do it. And it came to fruition. And so, you know, wanted to give Cam an opportunity to share his heart for VBS, why he wanted to do it. And as we were prepping, I was like, oh, actually, there's a lot more to the story than just, I felt like we wanted to do VBS, so we did it. And I think a big part of it starts with his entry into children's ministry. Mm-hmm. So, Cam, can you share about how you got started with children's ministry and how you felt, and kind of start our journey off?
Yeah, so this was probably about, I think I've been serving for about 4 to 5 years. I kind of forget the date, but I remember we were at Stanford, and Brett asked me, I was not serving at all at the time. I was helping a little bit with potlucks and cleanup, but nothing really where I could say, okay, this is like my spot at the church. Cause I wasn't exactly on the potluck or teams. It was just like, I would just help out. So one Sunday, Brett Harada came to me and asked me if I wanted to volunteer and think about serving with the kids. And, you know, at that time, I was like, I don't want to do this. I was like, kids, man, what? But, you know, I said, I'll think about it. And, you know, not really dealing with kids and not really, like, wanting to hang out with kids, really, just how it was at that time. I still said yes because they needed people, too. So I said yes, and the first time teaching, it was horrible. I didn't know what I was doing. Kids were kind of messing around. I didn't know how to have any authority over them. I was stumbling with the lesson, and, you know, I felt like I didn't really connect with the kids. I didn't really know any of them. And for the first 3 months, right, we teach once a month, and I remember waking up in the mornings just feeling so stressed, and when I go to sleep, I'm like, oh, man, I don't want to teach the kids. Like, I just not feel adequate. All these things, I don't even know what I'm doing. But for me, like, I don't want to just quit because, you know, I signed up for something. I felt that inside of me, but all at the same time, like, this is really a crappy feeling. And you know, some of those nights, Steph cracked up at this one when I told her, I called out sick one of those days, but it's cause I just didn't want to teach. but I just didn't want to do it. So I didn't go to church that day. And looking back, that's pretty funny. But on the third or fourth month, I remember going to sleep and I remember like just saying, you know, I don't want to feel this way. I want to go to church and kind of be able to serve. And you know, not feel scared or just inadequate.
Mm-hmm.
And the crazy thing happened. So I woke up the next morning and something changed inside of me where I was super happy to go teach. The illustration I gave was that that scene in the cartoon A Grinch Stole Christmas where his heart changes and this heart fills up, then it pops, you know, that image. So that's how I felt. And so when I went to church, I was like, is this real? Like, I was just so happy to see them, like, you know, and all these, it was just completely different.
Yeah.
Just a complete turnaround. And I don't even know how that happened, right? I know it was Jesus, obviously, but just when I felt that, I didn't really understand. Like, I was like, I guess this is it. Yeah. I like it. So since then, I've kind of just really liked teaching kids just foundational truths, I'd say. I think that's like kind of what I like doing. Because going back to COVID, which was six years ago.
Because we're 2026. That was 2020.
It ended in 2020.
We got lockdown started in 2020.
Okay.
Lockdowns ended like 2021.
So it's been five. Okay. Yeah. So during COVID, I was reading about a lot of apologetics. I read a bunch of books just studying and stuff because I saw one video of Vodi Bakum and on apologetics, you know, why you can believe the Bible. That just kind of set me on this kind of thing of knowing, I want to know more about, you know, God, the truth.
And more about your faith.
Yeah, exactly. And so all of that kind of, so when I had a change of, you know, attitude, heart for the children's ministry, that came back. I was like, okay, there's something with this I want to do. And that's kind of how I entered the children's ministry. And it's kind of crazy because I love doing it.
Yeah. When you first told that story, I was like, really? Like, I would never have known, because as long as I've known you in children's ministry, you've been like, oh, I can't wait to serve. I love being around the kids. And it's like, when you said that, I was like, what? Like, how did this happen? So it was really cool to hear you share that story about how God transformed your heart and how you see the kids and your heart for the kids.
It was overnight, which was really cool.
Yeah. I mean, that's how you know it's God's story, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, it's not like you did something over a long period of time. It's like, God just changed my heart overnight.
Yeah. Because I think, you know, deep down, right, God knows your desires. He knows what you want. Obviously, I don't want to feel so. I want a connection. I want to be able to serve. So I think he was able to give me that. And the cool thing is, right, I don't even, when I was like praying, I wasn't even praying. I was just kind of frustrated, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he knows kind of inside of what you really want. So he's able to, you know, redeem that and kind of set you on a different path, right? Even if you're not even saying it out loud, he knows the inner desires of you.
Yeah, and my kids were always like, Uncle Cam is our favorite teacher. Uncle Cam is our favorite teacher. And be like, what do you like about Uncle Cam? He brings the best snacks. Yeah, so I mean, just your generosity and how much you care for the kids, like they knew that, right? Like my kids know that you care about them, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they still know that you care about them, even though most of them have graduated out. They still know that you care about them. And so, I mean, you know, when you shared that at the beginning, it was rough. I was like, I've never seen that. So yeah, to hear your story, it's really cool. So kind of jumping forward ahead a little bit, you know, I know that you were struggling with some of the other areas of your life and you felt like the Lord was kind of leading you in a certain direction.
Mm-hmm.
Can you share a little bit about that season and just some of the struggles that you were having and then what you felt convicted to do?
Yeah, so one of the things that, you know, I struggled for a long time was on and off for, you know, probably 7-8 years. It was just drinking, you know, alcohol. And, you know, that, like I said, goes through seasons on and off, feel great, feel bad, right? All these ups and downs. But the last season, so 2 years ago, well, what was it? Now it's been about maybe a year and a half, maybe.
Yeah.
So about a year and a half, I really kind of made the, I guess, decision to, but kind of like not make it an idol. Don't be a slave to it. And it's still hard, right? Still, it's always still something on my mind, but it's been so much better because I'm just not trying to do it all on my own. Mm-hmm. I think that's the main thing where it's like, you know, you have God's grace, but also at the same time, I know what I'm supposed to do, and taking it seriously, like fearing God, all those things, especially reading that book. What was that one?
Of God.
Of God, yeah. So like that kind of stuff. So just knowing that you're not doing it alone.
Mm-hmm.
So I stopped, and last October, so instead of going to the bar, I went to the other bar, Barnes and Noble, and I went to the religion section and I saw the Cold Case Christianity book, not just in the shelf, but it was outside on a stand by itself on the side of the wall. And I was like, oh, Cold Case. That sounds kind of cool. That sounds like apologetics, which is what I've been reading. It's by J. Warner Wallace. This is also the material we did with the VBS, which we'll be talking later about. But something about it, I just was like, this looks really cool. So I bought it. I read in like 2 days. I just couldn't put it down.
And it's not a small book either. Cameron let me borrow it, and I was like, wait, you read this book in 2 days?
Yeah, it was awesome. And well, his other book, Prayers of Interest, we can talk about that another time, but that's another great book he's written. But just reading that, and I was just like, huh, this is kind of cool. I wonder if there's anything for, like, we could do with the kids. And then I go on his website, and sure enough, there's a Cold Case Christianity for Kids with a whole curriculum. You know, at this time, we were doing these beta groups at church, and we're testing out new things. And I was like, well, maybe we can do, like, a little summer camp or VBS. And on my heart, it was to do this apologetics foundational building of, you know, who is Jesus, right? What did he actually do here, right? Did he actually rise from the dead? Was he even crucified on the cross, right? How can we trust that, you know, the gospels are not just made up legends, right? And I think that stuff's really important for, you know, anyone to know, so you'll be able to defend your faith if someone asks. But that was just on my heart a lot to have the kids experience that, especially with this cool materials, right? You act as a detective, right? So I would say, like, what I learned, I think, is, you know, when you put stuff on the side, such as any idols, like whatever it be, drinking, right, any of these things, mm-hmm. you know, it takes time, but, you know, something, there's a reason for it, right? And now when I look back, I go, wow, like, I'm so glad, you know, I really stopped drinking as I did and took it seriously, because look what happened from it, even though it was hard. So that's kind of how I got to the theme for the summer camp.
Yeah, it's really cool when you're able to see the direct effects of, you know, making a sacrifice for the Lord, right? You made a sacrifice, like, this lifestyle, I need to set this aside right now. It's too consuming, right? And so you said, let's put it to the side. And then the Lord stepped in and said, okay, you're gonna do this for me, then I'm gonna show you a different way. And then kind of brought all these other things that wouldn't have been there if you had been continuing the way that things were before.
Right. Because all the things that are required for it, right? I need to be, you know, places early. I need to be alert, right? All these things. So it's like, okay, I need to hold myself to higher standard than, you know, showing up late to stuff or, you know, being tired from the night before, right? So it's all these things that I think God prepared me to be able to, you know, step into something new. And it just feels like yesterday when we had our first, you know, summer camp meeting in December, right? And it's already, you know, 8 months.
Yeah.
8 months later.
We're now in August.
I know. It's crazy.
Yeah. So, okay. So jump ahead. Like, now you found this curriculum. You had this feeling of like, yeah, I want to do a VBS style thing with our kids. Let's gather a team together. You know, I want to give a shout out to our team.
Yeah.
The people that were in charge of the different areas, you know, we had Jane and Belinda doing crafts. Like, that's like the A team on crafts. We had Jeremy and Brandon Hojo doing games. Like, that's like another A team doing games. And we had Dylan and Brett doing, and Rob doing the snacks, like.
And Brittany and Sid.
And Brittany and Sydney doing worship. Like, we definitely had A-team level people in each of the areas. And, you know, we had a bunch of the junior hires and high schoolers helping out too. And they did an awesome job connecting with the kids, modeling for the kids, you know, making it cool for the kids to do worship. You know, I want to give a special shout out to Sean because, you know, there was one... one of the guys in our that came, you know, is a pretty cool guy. And, you know, for the first couple of days, he's like checking it out. I was like, I don't know if doing all these hand motions is that cool. Could be. I don't know. I'm not sure. And then, you know, Sean's going all in. Sean was going all in. And then by the end of the week, that guy was like all in too.
Yeah.
And then even after that, all in. So it was like, man, Sean really stepped up into that space of modeling and just seeing some of the fruit from multiple kids, you know, just seeing some of the fruit from multiple kids that I've heard lots of stories of kids sharing about how this was such a great week for them, how much they enjoyed it, how much they want to come to church now. You know, some of the kids that might have been more sporadic before, like, I want to come. I want to be there. I want to be around my friends. I want to be around the people. You know, I want to learn more about Jesus. Like, it's been really cool to see some of the effects of the people and the teams that we had. How did you come about, like, wanting to, or how did you come about, like, asking each of the people to do it? Because, like, man, you definitely picked, like, kind of the cream of the crop people for those roles.
Yeah. Well... So I had the stage. So I think just like my job, so I'm in finance, for those who don't know. I work from home most of the time, but I'd go into office, but I kind of treat it as how I would run a team, like how I manage projects at work, where I ask people who I know can handle it and I trust them that they have their own authority to make their own decisions, stick with the theme. But you are free to do what you want. You know what our goal is, right? You know the values of our church. You know our kids. So I think I just chose the people who, you know, obviously people I know, but some people I don't know that well. Mm-hmm. But inside I knew, like, you know, if I ask you to do this, you'll be able to kind of run your station on your own without having me to kind of be checking in every single time. And what's crazy is when I asked these healers, you know, everyone said yes, and I barely had to check in with them. I said, if you have any questions, you let me know. And someone had a couple of questions. I go, yeah, that's an awesome idea to do it. Or maybe we should do this. And, you know, we just have a conversation and it was so smooth. It's kind of unbelievable, like how smooth it went. And everyone did. I mean, I have no words how well and amazing everyone put in the time and effort and what became out of it. So like the experience of doing it, it wasn't that stressful because really at the end of the day, right, it's not really, we're just serving. We want to serve, right? Mm-hmm. We want to serve Jesus and, you know, he gives us the strength inside to be able to do these things, right? If I felt stressed, I go, you know what? This is from the enemy. I'm just going to pray and just say, God, take this away. I know the camp is coming up next week and I'm feeling a little anxious about XYZ teaching the lesson. So I just stop what I'm doing and go, all right, I know this is not what I'm supposed to be feeling. It's from the enemy. And then it just goes away and then I move on. So knowing that, I felt like it can't fail, you know, because God, right, he's on our side. So it's really just getting the team. We all trust that we're going to work together and, you know, Jesus will show up, which he did every night, every day. So it wasn't actually too difficult to pick the people that way.
Yeah, yeah.
It was, yeah.
Yeah, and then, I mean, it wasn't for lack of spiritual attack, because I know you'd shared with me, like, leading up to camp, there were quite a few nights where you'd have, like, some pretty vivid, dark dreams.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
And then, yeah. And so it's not like the enemy wasn't trying to attack you, but you were equipped to deal with it and to walk, continue to walk and continue to push forward. you know, and after seeing some of the results, it's like, okay, I know why he was trying to attack you, because he knew what the outcome mm-hmm. would be of this camp and how well it was going to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'll share one of the dreams. I think the theme of it, of the enemy trying to replace something in you,
mm-hmm.
I think it's because they don't want you to do something, mm-hmm. right? So this was earlier in the year, probably like January, February, where I had three dreams in a row that were of the same kind of theme, but I'll share the middle one because it's very interesting. So I'm in a doctor's office. I'm in like a terrarium, how there's like plants outside glass. Like imagine mm-hmm. imagine you're in a kind of a greenhouse room, and then you're in a glass room with plants all outside, and one wall has a TV on it. Background's gray. So I'm sitting on a dentist, everything's fine, and this lady comes up to me, she's the dentist lady, and she goes, oh, how you been? And I said, oh, I'm doing good, I have no pain. She goes, okay, well, let me take an x-ray, your teeth. So she takes a look, takes an x-ray, and she goes, I think you need some new teeth. And I said, I don't think so. And then she goes, all right. And then she says, you actually need a new leg. Your bone of your leg needs to come out, and I'm going to saw it out for you. And I said, I don't know about that. And she goes, okay, well, we also need your leg bone, your teeth, and what's the bone in your shoulder? Clavicle? Something.
Shoulder? Your
yeah.
shoulder?
So, yeah, clavicle, yeah, shoulder clavicle. Thing. Yeah. So we need that from you, and we're going to saw it out. And I remember feeling the dream. I'm going, okay, something's wrong here. And she goes, we're going to replace it with this gray bone instead. It's a little lighter, but it'll be better. And I remember thinking, I don't want the gray bone. And then she put on the TV, she puts on the x-ray of my body, and she like grabs, like she points to the bones on the wall. And as she points to them, they like kind of pop out like 3D, and she's grabbing them and going, look how brittle they are, right? You don't need these. You don't need them anymore. And she goes, so she gets the saw and she puts it on my leg, and I go, hold on, I need to go to the bathroom. But that was just my my ploy to get out of it, because mm-hmm. I was actually going to go talk to my dad. So I go out and I call my dad on the phone. I go, hey, dad. And you know, I talked to some other people at church about what it means. So like, if you go to the dad, right, means like the father.
Yeah.
So I call him. I go, hey, this lady needs me to take out three bones and replace it with something she thinks is better. And I said, but I don't know if that's right. And I go, what do you think? He goes, he says, refuse the bones. That's mm-hmm. what he says. That's it. And then I go, okay. So then as I walk back, I tell her no, and then I wake up.
It's kind of a crazy dream.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Okay. So then since you talked to people about it, did you get any insight of what they think the bones are, or?
Yeah, it's more of like, God made you who you are, right? You have talents, gifts, right? How he made you unique. And it's really just the enemy
mm.
replacing it with a fake thing
mm-hmm.
That you're going to say, oh, I got this from this person. It's not from God anymore.
Mm.
And then, so that's kind of that. And then like calling my dad, right? Then that for us, that was like pretty clear. Like, okay, like, you know, you go to the Holy Spirit or the Father like yeah. for advice, because you sense something's wrong, right? So those were kind of the things that I was dealing with leading up to the camp, more so in the planning stages
yeah.
Of it. So that was interesting, to say the least, but very, very vivid dreams. They feels like, well, I can kind of choose what to do in them. So it's kind of cool, I guess, but, God usually shows up. So
yeah,
it's cool.
Yeah. It is cool to hear just the ways that you're able to process this, and knowing like when you do have some of these, and recognizing the spiritual dynamics of it, and then having the right people to go to help you discern and
mm-hmm.
give explanation or possible interpretation of what it could mean and how that's able to help, you know, keep you moving forward too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. So, you know, now we're at VBS and, you know, you have assembled this awesome team. We're there. You know, what are some of the highlights for you from VBS, and what are some of the things that you felt like really stood out? Like, you're running this thing. There's got to be stories that you feel like, oh yeah, this one was just really a highlight for me.
Mm-hmm. I think the first one that sticks out is the worship time.
Mm-hmm.
So originally, because we were thinking more of, you know, we're trying to see if we can even do a camp, like how will it work with the logistics. I was planning not to even do worship.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was talking to the team saying, hey, do we want to just kind of make it bigger and let's like add worship. Let's add, you know, XYZ.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah, let's do it. Because originally it was really just gonna be more of like a kind of like a school kind of thing. Like, are you going to learn this? And we'll have a couple games. Right. But when they said, hey, let's just kind of go for it and see what happens. It's okay. And then right when I said, let's do it, I was like, Brittany, it's going to be Brittany. and then at summer's graduation, Sid was there, and then Sid's like, oh, I do hand motion, you know. So I was like, perfect, you're gonna do it with Brittany then. You guys choose the songs, three or four songs, you guys choose them, you guys do it, right? I trust you guys. And and now that song washes on my playlist every day. But what I really liked of how Brittany and Sid ran it was they taught the different postures of worship for the kids, and the kids responded.
Mm-hmm.
I had some parents tell me after church that, oh, I never seen, you know, my kids kind of go up there like and start clapping and singing and during the worship that fast before. There's some kids there during the camp that, you know, the first day they didn't want to maybe participate, or they felt kind of different doing hand motions because maybe different for them.
Yeah.
Then on the second to last day or the last day, they were going crazy.
Yeah.
You know? So like seeing that, I think makes me really happy. The kids just feel a connection with worship and God.
And I think it was really cool too, because even some of the kids that came are not church kids. I mean, we had quite a few kids that are not Catalyst kids.
Eight or nine of them, I think.
Yeah, eight or nine kids that are not Catalyst kids. And some of them don't have any church background.
Mm-hmm.
And then some of them, when we asked them towards the end of the week, like, what was your favorite part? They didn't even know what to call it. They're like, you know, like the part when you sing and you dance and you do that, like, what is it called? Oh yeah, yeah, worship. That I like that part. That was my favorite part. It's like, oh, that's cool. Good call in adding that.
That was Brett, Steph, the whole team kind of suggested, maybe we just consider. Mm-hmm. I was like, let's do it. And then I was a little nervous on the second day, because the first day, right, we do these worksheets that they kind of have to pay attention to the lesson. So those listening, myself, Garrett, Micah, and Sean, we were like the actors for these lessons, like a skit.
So the whole lesson was shared through a skit. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like someone just standing in the front teaching like a teacher. It was more through a skit. The lesson was presented in a way that was interactive, was fun for the kids. It was engaging. There was multiple people involved with it. So, yeah, it turned out to be something that they could really follow along with.
Yeah. So that was great. You saw the worksheets, right? And it's some of the questions are hard. It's like, you know, difference between circumstantial and or direct and indirect evidence, right? Right. So there's this question that they have to answer with their groups, right? Because they were in teams for the whole week. There were about six groups of four with the helper in each one. So on the second day, I was thinking to myself, oh man, like, are they gonna get tired of the worksheets? Like, I don't know, like, because there's two a day and they're pretty. Some are pretty tough. You know, like to write down who are the four authors of the gospel, right? They got to be paying attention to all these things that we're saying in the skit. But every day, second, third, fourth day, when it was the worksheet time, everyone just grabbed it and just wanted to do them with their team as fast as they could.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that made me like feel pretty good, because I was like, okay, like I thought it was going to be boring and they might kind of get burned out from it. But they all just wanted to get the right answers and, you know, talk to their team on, you know, is this or, you know, what's the mystery of the skateboard, which was the theme, right? So that was cool.
Yeah, one of the ones that stood out to me was the time they were correcting us on, I think there was a, it was like a matching Jesus picture.
Oh, right.
And we didn't know which one was the actual one, so we were kind of looking through, and we're like, it has to be this one, it has to be this one. But we were wrong. The kids were right. They found the right one.
I thought it was number 7 or something, but it was like 3 or 4.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a match Jesus to the face with all these little details in it. Yeah. So it's actually pretty tough. I guess, and then I'll do one more thing that I think really stood out was, I'd say, well, the officers, we had some special guests come in too.
We did have some, that part was really cool. That was a really good call. So they invited, some friends from college, right? You knew them from college.
Mm-hmm.
It was crime scene investigator Sunny and her husband, Officer Daniel, right? And so that's her job. She is a crime scene investigator. She's there to figure out who did it from the evidence that's on the scene, which is a lot of what the kids were learning about all week. So you can keep sharing.
Yeah, so they were able to come, and they did like a personalized activity for the kids where they had their names printed out on these little like evidence cards that you'd see at a crime scene. They had a Bible verse on it. They did an activity of them putting their fingerprint on a balloon and blowing it up, and you can compare fingerprints. They gave them a little bag of some stickers, and then they also did Investigator Sunny, she gave them a little lesson about uniqueness in God, and showed them with like what was it, that evidence brush that did like fingerprints? It was a blank board, but then when she did it over, it said like Jesus loves you on it. So they had a whole lesson, which was just, I did not expect that. I didn't know what to expect. I thought they were just going to share a little bit and do some questions, but they had a whole sort of lesson, and it was amazing. Like I was, my mind was blown on how much they prepared just for this and how much they were able to bless the kids, because the kids loved it.
I mean, I thought originally when they, after they did that, I was like, wow, Cameron really prepped them to get them to do it. Like, that was like perfect. And then you said like, no, they did that all on their own. I was like, oh shoot, that's crazy. Like they did that on their own. It really did kind of put a cap on the week, right? Mm-hmm. To take all the things that the kids were learning, bring it together, and then actually have people that do that share and give a lesson and how they see God in their work every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the whole week went by so fast, and I was pretty sad when it was over. I was like, man, I wish we can do another night just to worship with the kids, you know, something, right? But, you know, it was a really great week. I mean, everything worked out, you know, God's plan, and I'm just super thankful for all the helpers and everyone who volunteered their time, because couldn't have been done without any of them.
Yeah, and I just want to, you know, thank you, too, for your heart, for seeing this through. And, you know, when from the first time you shared about it, like, this is something on my heart, to being able to get it to the finish line and to for it to also be such a great week. Like, I know the time, the effort, you know, you had your intern Garrett working on it with you and stuff. And just your commitment to the kids and helping them to, you know, take ownership of their faith and to know more about the reasons why we can believe and trust what the Bible says and about the resurrection. It's just awesome. So just thank you, Cam, for the time that you put in. I know that a lot of the kids and a lot of the families were really blessed because of VBS and the time that you put in.
Thanks, yeah.
Well, so, okay, VBS is over. It was a great week. But a lot of the things that the Lord has been leading you in terms of apologetics and defending your own faith, it helped our kids and it gave us a theme for the VBS. But it's been cool because in sharing and hearing from you, you've been actually able to use that in your regular everyday life.
Mm-hmm.
And God has been opening up all these doors for you to be able to talk to people about your faith. So I thought that would be a good way for us to kind of transition to the next part. Is just really seeing, you know, you're not just giving these things to the kids for themselves, which you are. We want them to know why they believe what they believe and to be able to trust it. But then you're also giving them tools to share with other people. And you've been able to see that through in your own life. So can you share some stories?
Which is recent.
Totally.
So, it started this year, probably February Mm-hmm. I think March, Damon, right? I'd say from that first story.
It's kind of crazy because it just seems like they're happening over and over and over. Like,
they kind of are.
It's like one after the other.
Yeah, one every 2 weeks maybe. So at the restaurant / bar by my house, there's a couple of them. You know, I go there with, I'll meet friends there. I'll go by myself after work. I've been going there for a long time. Mm-hmm. Everyone knows me there, like the workers there. I play basketball with some of them mm-hmm. after church on Sundays. So in March, I had an encounter with someone, but actually before that, let me go back. So when I was like 22, so this is like 10 years ago, maybe 12 years ago, I've had people talk about Jesus to me at the bar. Mm. And this is when I was really struggling with alcohol. And they would ask me about it, like my faith and stuff. And I remember not being able to say anything about it. Mm. Like no, like shameful to talk about it. Like, oh, that's not cool here. Mm. Or not even being in the mental state to talk about it because what I was struggling with. Or mm-hmm. just me saying, oh, I don't want to talk about it, right? And I remember back then, it probably happened about maybe 3 to 5 times over those like 8 years back in the past, someone would just bring it up. And I remember thinking like feeling guilty later and just kind of like, man, I couldn't even like stand up for what I believe in or at least give them an answer. Cause some people even asked a question like, oh, so what church do you go to? And I didn't even want to like talk to them. Right. So this year, I think with reading the Bible, reading some books on apologetics and how to talk to people, and just, I think just trying to learn more about, right, God at the end of it. He's put these scenarios or encounters in my life since March, which is just crazy because it just feels weird. Like these are happening to me. So Damon, I've mentioned it to Damon, a few of them. So I want to share these with you because they're really cool. So the first one was in March. Some lady came up to me and the first thing she says is, and I'm just sitting watching a sports game and she goes, hey, I'm just dealing with a really rough relationship, some addiction, all these other things. And I said, okay, like, are you okay? She's like, oh, you know, addiction's hard. And she started telling me all these things and, she ended up mentioning Elvis for some reason because we started talking about music. And then she said, yeah, Elvis is probably just as popular as Jesus, who was only a prophet. And then I was like, huh, okay. Then I asked her, I said, what makes you think he's just a prophet? And she ended up going to this whole thing. And we had a really great conversation. And I explained to her kind of, you know, who Jesus was, what he mm-hmm. stood for. You know, a lot of things this person thought about Jesus was false, right? They thought he ruled here for 50-100 years, kingdoms here, mm. right? Had an army, governed the world, right? So which is not true, by the way.
Like, that was Caesar, not Jesus.
Yeah. So we had this whole talk and we ended up talking for 3 hours, 9 to 12. Basically closing time at this place. And I ended up sharing with her the gospel and how it's different from all the other religions, mm. how Jesus has already done it. You don't have to do anything. You're saved by grace and faith. God loves you, cares for you. You know, if you want a relationship, then you can accept him. But there's nothing you can do on your own works to get this. Mm. God, Jesus has already done it on the cross. So I kind of explained to her all the world religions and got to Christianity and said, hey, this is a different one. You know, Jesus knows you. And she started to cry and she goes, that's the most beautiful thing I ever heard. And then, you know, we left and then I said, all right, well, yeah, I'll see you next time. So she ends up inviting me to her birthday party with some of her friends there. And this is probably back in April. And then the first thing she does, she says to three of her friends, she goes, this is the guy who almost converted me to Christianity last time I talked to him. And then I just start laughing. I go, oh, I didn't know what to say. And then, yeah. And then this other, one of her other friends was like, oh, you believe in a God? And I was like, yeah. Then I shared, and then I shared kind of what I share with her, with them. So, you know, it's just all these things kind of happen. And I went again later, like 2 weeks after that. And another person was working there. They go, hey, did you talk to my friend one night? And talking about the, you know, the first lady. Yeah. I go, yeah, I had a long conversation with her, you know, about a month ago. She goes, you know, she goes, I'm her roommate and she's been trying to pray at night.
Mm.
And she said that what I was telling her spoke to her, but she doesn't, and she's, and it kind of changed her mindset. She's really trying to get out of these things that she's thrown with her life. So I was like, that's amazing.
Yeah.
And then this lady, you know, this worker then said she goes to a, she just started going to church and is a complete newbie at reading the Bible.
Mm.
She's like, I just started to go. We're going through the New Testament. She said, is this a good translation to use? Right. So she's asking all these questions.
Yeah.
And so we end up talking about the Bible while she's making drinks and stuff and to, for other customers. And I'm watching the game and she's like, yeah, is this a good church? You know, all these things. And, you know, I looked at the church, I saw what they believe. And I was like, yeah, this looks like a great opportunity for you. Continue to read, you know, there's always some, footnotes at the bottom, right? Just kind of give her an idea. Cause she's like, I have no idea what I'm reading, yeah. Like what this stuff means, the context and everything. So I was, that was the one in April. There's a lot, but I mean, I think the one with Ray, or not that guy, but the other one, a guy I met at this other place. He's an older guy. Mm. And, we were watching the news and it was about AI. He asked me about how AI was and I was like, oh yeah, AI is, I was like, it's interesting. You know, I'll use it a little bit at work. But he ended up going into something about how he's done some things in his past that he's not proud of. And he just told me that. And I go, well, you know, there's someone who can, you know, redeem all these things. And what's funny is the guy sitting next to him who we don't even know jumped in and it seemed like he was a Christian. He started speaking all these truths too. And then we said, you know, you can accept Jesus. And he goes, no, I've done too many bad things. So we ended up telling him a little bit more. And, you know, when we said like, you know, you don't have to do anything besides believe, right? God did it for you already. He goes, this is the best news I've ever heard. He's like, this is great. He's like, amazing. And that was it. And he was just super happy.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like people carry a lot of things with them.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's something, they're just waiting for someone to talk to them and just have an open ear, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. I mean, gospel, the word gospel means good news, right? And mm-hmm. it's like, you're sharing the gospel with this person. For him, it's really good news. Like, yeah, when did the gospel stop being good news? It mm-hmm. didn't.
Yeah.
And so it's cool to hear you sharing the story with him, and it became good news, right? And then, and that one was actually, I remember you sharing that one with me. That one was actually right after VBS, right? Like, it was like within a couple days after VBS, I think.
It was the day after or VBS.
It was the day after VBS because then you shared it with me and then we shared a little bit about that story with our class in the Pride.
On the next Sunday.
The next Sunday. And then we actually got a chance to pray for him.
We did.
I mean, he didn't come to church or anything, but just like as a class, we prayed for him, you know, that he would know Jesus and the things that were planted that evening would continue to grow.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so it's cool to see just the kind of how, the Lord's been opening up some of these opportunities, even to share with the kids, like the things that they were learning in VBS, Uncle Cameron's using it to share with other people too.
Yeah. I also had this was probably 2 months ago. I had a conversation with a naturalist, right? Someone who does not believe in any God. So we had a, I think it was about an hour conversation. he started talking about it, and I was like, oh, this seems interesting conversation. So we went back and forth, and it was a great conversation. You know, I told him what I believe, and I asked him a lot of questions. But now, like, all these conversations just come up, you know, out of nowhere. On my birthday in May, I invited some coworkers out to another restaurant,
mm-hmm.
and Rob was there. Rob stopped by, mm-hmm. Ganico, and mentioned how, you know, firefighter, he goes to church. And during the dinner, my coworker, Rob was sitting on the other side. She goes, "Hey, that guy, he brought up church. Your friend brought up church." And I said, "Oh yeah." I was like, "I go to church. Yeah." I was like, "You know, I'm involved. I serve there." She goes, "Really?" And she goes, "I never heard someone bring up church before, mm-hmm. like in a conversation where you're just meeting someone for the first time." And she goes, "So I don't know anything about it. What do you guys do?" Mm-hmm. So I ended up telling her the whole gospel at the sitting next to her. All the coworkers, friends are around, and I'm just talking to her. Asked her just some questions, about do you think life here is all that's it, you know? Mm-hmm. And she ended up bringing up, you know, questions about, like, you know, if someone dies, what happens, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she's asking, well, I think I'm a good person. Then went to the whole thing of, okay, but, you know, what is good?
Mm-hmm.
What's the definition of good? And she's like, okay, like, you know, thinking about it. So I was gonna share that, and I ended up getting dinner with her and her husband, about a month ago. We didn't really talk about really stuff. We just had a good time, talk about work, mm-hmm. and just hang out. But, you know, I think it's just another opportunity just to show them, right, hey, you know, there's something more out there.
Yeah.
And, you know, if I get the opportunity to invite them to church, or, you know, just have that conversation with them again, because she said that they're open to it. So mm-hmm. it's just like another thing that comes up.
Yeah, I think it's really cool to see how, right, like, you have all these tools in your tool belt now, right? With all the studying you've been doing, all the reading you've been doing, all the extra apologetics, all the prepping for VBS, you have all these different tools right now. But you're not using the tools to, like bang people over the head and say, like, you need to believe, right? But the approach you're coming at it is, you're there to listen. You know, you want to hear people's stories. You want people to know that you care first. And then when they bring it up, or when the opportunity arises to kind of share about your faith or the gospel, then you're not afraid to jump at it because you have the right tools. It's just discerning when the right timing is to mm-hmm. use those tools. And I think that's a really cool thing about how you've been using these opportunities to share with people that you don't even know. And some people you do know, but some people mm-hmm. you don't know that well.
Right. I think, like, for that, I read that book, Tactics. Mm-hmm. I think I saw it on your bookshelf when I was there last time, the one with the chess guy on the chess piece on it.
Yep, Henry gave me that book.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think Garrett's reading it. I think I lent it to Garrett.
Mm-hmm.
But that book, I'd say, is awesome in terms of asking the right questions, but also giving you the correct mindset when you are going to talk to someone about it, because you don't want to feel this pressure, right? It's like, mm-hmm. oh, I have to get them to do this. There's none of that. It's you plant the seed, and then God will do the rest.
Because
mm-hmm. the metaphor analogy he uses in the book, the author, it's about your gardener, right? You just want to plant the seed. Don't feel like you have to be performing all the time. It's, you know, build the trust with the person. You'll actually get to know them, right? Like, mm-hmm. just talk to them. And if they ask a question, you know, go into it if they bring it up, or if you feel like there's a right time to, you know, bring that up, then, you know, go for it and just get to know them better.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's interesting too, because, you know, as you've been sharing, one of the things that keeps getting highlighted is, right, a lot of this is happening in a bar, right? Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of the people that you're sharing with, a lot of the things that the people you're talking to are at a bar, right? Mm-hmm. And in order for you to be able to do that, you have to be comfortable in a bar, right? Mm-hmm. Like, for me, I probably would not be comfortable sitting in a bar, especially going by myself, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's just not something I would necessarily be comfortable with. And so God is using some of the things that you are comfortable with as opportunities for you to be able to share the gospel. And so I think one of the things that we can all take away from that is just the Lord can use you wherever you're at, right? And mm-hmm. You don't have to feel like, oh, I have to go over here or I have to do this or in order for me to be able to be used by the Lord mm-hmm. to share the gospel or just to for him to use me, but he can use you where you're at or places that you're comfortable with.
Yeah, and it's cool to see, like, you know, some of these places I used to go when I was at my worst times too. Mm-hmm. And now I can go there, obviously be responsible. I can go with friends and now I can share mm-hmm. the good news with someone. So it's like kind of, God will redeem these places where it's like, I wish I was never here again, but mm-hmm. now I'm here. Now look what God's doing, right?
Yeah.
I can talk to people and, you know, help these people who are looking for something, but they don't know what they're looking for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. Right. Cause I mean, in that scenario, right, a lot of people are going there to forget their problems or to run away from the stresses of life or just different mm-hmm. things, right?
Right.
It's an easy way to escape or to forget, right? Mm-hmm. And so instead of going to that, it's like you're bringing them the person that can help to bring healing or to bring wholeness or to bring what they're actually looking for to their life. And so it's like they might be looking for one thing, but when they start having this conversation with you, they're going to get something different. And then like that one guy said, like, this is the greatest news. This is the
so
best
happy.
News, right?
Yeah.
And so I think it's really cool just to see the ways that, right, the Lord is bringing this full circle for you mm-hmm. from the times when you would go there for some of those reasons, but now you're going there for a different reason
mm-hmm.
and how you're able to be used by the Lord in that situation too.
Yeah. Yeah, and building a relationship with these people, it's great too because, you know, I play basketball with them, right? I see mm-hmm. I see them outside of, you know, whether they're working there or if we're just meeting up midweek. But just getting to know them, I think, has just been really, really cool. I mean, everyone has their own story and,
yeah.
you know, we just share things and, you know, I share, you know, parts of my life with them too. And I let them know, yeah, you know, I believe in a God, you know, I go to church. I do, right? I have my life that I live for what I believe in.
Mm-hmm.
So I think just, you know, hanging out with people, right, who have different journeys and you, I think, is great because you guys can just talk to each other and, you know, maybe you can be a light or, mm-hmm. you know, just something will spark and they're like, oh, maybe I'm interested, right, in going to church or learning about God, right?
Yeah, because for some of these people, they might never set foot in a church. So instead, you're bringing the church to them, right? And so I think that it's really cool to see your journey, to be able to have walked with you on parts of it and just to be able to see how the Lord has been redeeming it and bringing life and bringing light to these situations that in the past could have been pretty dark.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, like, getting out of it, like I said, like, going back to, like, my early 20s,
mm-hmm.
it was, like, 1 year really bad, like, 2 months good, then 1 year, right, one bad. It was just going back and forth. And I think in that last almost two years now, where I feel like it's good,
mm.
where it's like, I know God cares for me. I know, you know, I've grown and, you know, self-control, all these things. It's like, okay, like I know what it's like to be back there.
Mm-hmm.
But now since I'm not leaning on only myself trying to not do it
mm.
right now, I, you know, trust in the Holy Spirit to help me with these struggles. Now I feel like, okay, it's a lot less pressure.
Yeah.
So where now it's like, okay, I can be, I'm good, right? Like, I don't feel like there's that constant guilt of, oh, you're just going to go back and do it. Or
yeah,
you've done it before, so you're going to do it again. Or keep thinking about how you were back then, right? That's how you're going to be later in life. Mm-hmm. So all that stuff, like, the Holy Spirit can, like, you know, take away.
Yeah.
If anyone's struggling with, you know, looking back all the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
I used to do this, but I want to be like this.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really cool. Thanks for sharing all the stories. Mm-hmm. So we are getting close on time. So are there any things that you want to just leave our listeners with? Any last thoughts, anything that you want to share before we sign off?
Let's see. I guess to keep with the theme, I think just be open to what people are talking, listening. I think listen intently, listen, you know, slowly, right? To what people are telling you, because it seems like when I talk to different people, you know, it's not really just to talk. It's, you know, they want to get to know you too. And there's something that, you know, people long for, right? And mm-hmm. some people don't even know what that is. So I think when we do talk to people, you know, just be ready to listen mm-hmm. first, instead of just trying to tell them like all these things, like, oh, you should do, you know, and because mm-hmm. that can turn some people away. So I'd just say, you know, yeah, listen slowly and, you know, just get to know the person. This could be with family too, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not just strangers at the bar. Just listen to each other more and, you know, work together to find some thing that you both want to talk about. And if it's Jesus, then great.
Yeah, as you were talking, the words talk with them, not talk at them, came to mm-hmm. mind.
Mm-hmm. And ask them questions too, right? Because you want to hear what they think, right? Because mm-hmm. if you're just telling them things, especially like if you're trying to explain like the gospel, right, you do want to ask a lot of questions. Be like, you know, do you believe Jesus existed, or what's your thoughts on, you know, the resurrection? Like, is that possible? Right? You know, questions like that. Not just saying this happened. Okay, mm-hmm. and then be done. So it is. And I never thought I would be doing this. I remember in the Baja mission trip
mm-hmm.
when I got the runs for like 2 weeks after. me and Brandon Saito were hurting for a long time. But I remember there were different stations that we would do at the Baja thing. Because one was like building, one mm-hmm. was evangelizing.
Mm-hmm.
This was, man, I want to say like 2014. I want to say like 10, over 10 years, maybe 10 years ago, the Baja trip. And I remember, I forget who asked me what station I wanted to be in, but I ended up doing the house one where, you build the construction one.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, I remember saying out loud, oh, I don't do evangelism. That's not my thing. I remember saying that. And I feel like I carried that for a long time. Like, oh, I just don't do it. And, you know, that's a lie, right?
Yeah.
Anyone can share the gospel. So, and I always remember saying that out loud to our group. I said, nope, I don't evangelize. I'm not going to be part of that group. I don't want to do anything with all of that. And now, you know, God redeems that, and I like doing it. And so I think that's another thing to do. Yeah, keep an open mind. I think no one's too old to, you know, change something, mm-hmm. right? You can always learn something new. But just being open to what God wants to do in your life, whether that be easy or hard. And usually the harder things are the best things.
Yeah, I think that could be one of the tactics of the enemy, is just to get you so locked into this is who I am that
mm-hmm.
you become closed off to what God really has for you, right? So at that time, it's like, I don't do evangelism.
Right.
But it's like, well, what if that's really what God wanted for you? Then maybe you're kind of boxing yourself into a corner
mm-hmm.
when God really has something different for you.
Right.
So it was when you were able to open yourself up to that. And it's like, now see, like, you're evangelizing all the time. And you're not even trying.
Yeah. And yeah, that was 10 years ago.
Yeah.
The Baja trip. So, yeah, it's cool to look back and see all these things, like not just my life, but every, like, people at church,
yeah.
like just how God changes things. And, you know, like, I used to think like you're stuck in a season that you're in, when it gets so long, you feel like, okay, this is it, right? Like, mm-hmm. this is the rest of my life, how it's going to be. I'm going to be like this, working this, right? And that's it. But, you know, that's not true. You know, it's called a season for a reason. So, you know, things will change. But, yeah, I'd say just be open to do harder things, or things that you're not used to.
Yeah.
Even though it might be kind of rough in the beginning. But, you know, it's good in the long run.
All right. Yeah. Awesome stuff. Awesome stuff. Well, thanks again, Cam, for coming on and taking the time out. I'm super glad that we were able to finally figure out a schedule where we could get you on and share. Yeah. And a great reason, too, to be able to share about VBS and just all the things that God did. And, you know, if there were some things that you feel like we wanted to expand on, come talk to Cam, too. I'm sure he'd be willing to talk about it, or any of the other leaders or the kids that attended Forensic Faith Camp this year. I'm sure there's a lot of stories that we haven't even heard about yet that happened, or things that were special. So grab somebody, talk to them about it. It was a great time. And again, thanks again, Cam, for the time and effort that you put into that and coming on today too.
All right. Thanks, Dan. Appreciate the time.
All right. Thanks to all you listeners out there. Until next time, may you experience God's heart for you to flourish in every season.